It's always a joy for me to come to Hurricane Church and to share the teaching of the Word. As you can tell, I'm wrestling with some voice problems under the care of a physician, and hopefully in the weeks to come, the voice will be stronger. I'm excited about this series that I want to share with you this summer and hope that today will be a good kickoff of the series that I want to share with you over time. I'm reading today from 1 Corinthians chapter 2, beginning at verse 6 and reading through verse 16. It's a longer passage, but one that can be very meaningful to you as we read it. I hope that you have a Bible handy. And if you would have a pencil, it'd be great to mark some of the phrases or the key words of the passage as I read them. We do not, however, speak a message of wisdom among the mature, but not the wisdom of this age, nor of the rulers of this age who are coming to nothing. No, we declare God's wisdom, here's a key word, a mystery that has been hidden and that God destined for our glory before time began. None of the rulers of this age understood it, for if they had, they would not have crucified the Lord of glory. However, as it is written, eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man, the things that God hath prepared for them who love him. But a key verse, but God has revealed them unto us by his Spirit. Now the Spirit searches all things, even the deep things of God. Underline those words. For who knows a person's thought except their own spirit within them? In the same one, no one knows the thoughts of God except the Spirit of God. What we have received is not the spirit of the world, but the Spirit who is from God, so that we may understand what God has freely given us. This is what we speak, not in words taught by the human wisdom, but in words taught by the Spirit, explaining spiritual realities with spiritual taught words. In the next few verses, we compare the person without the Spirit and the person with the Spirit. Notice Paul's words. The person without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, but considers them foolishness and cannot understand them because they are discerned only through the Spirit. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord so as to instruct him? But we, as believers, have the mind of Christ. An awesome thought. Now, when you study the passage, we talk about words of the Lord that are deep words, words that are indeed mysteries, as Paul proclaims them. And it's important for us to understand really what Paul is talking about. And so today I want to explain to you the meaning of the word mystery that appears some 27 times in the New Testament. And then we'll understand how God communicates and how we are enabled to understand even the mind of Christ as it's communicated to us by the Holy Spirit, by which we are indwelt. Now we get a little deeper in thought, and I pray that you'll stay with me. I want to give you a definition today, and that definition will provide the outline for our thinking together. You'll see the definition on the screen. Mysteries are defined as that which is being outside the range of natural comprehension, can be made known only by divine revelation, and is made known in a manner at a time appointed by God, and only to those who are enlightened by His Spirit. Now let's break that down into four parts and hopefully find the groundwork that we need for our understanding. Number one, the mysteries of God communicated in God's words are outside the range of natural comprehension. Now you'll notice back in verse 14, Paul says, "The natural man receiveth not the things of the Spirit, neither can he know them, because they are spiritually discerned." A number of years ago, God gave me the opportunity to lead a radio disc jockey to the Lord, a very interesting personality at best. I followed up visiting with him once a week over lunch, seeking to disciple him and get him grounded in his faith. One day when I was going down to the station where he worked, I waited outside for him to come out at lunchtime so as not to interrupt anything in the radio station. And he came out, his face was red, and you could tell that he was just terribly angry. And the first thing that he said to me is, "I just told them, I put them in their place." So I said to him, "Bob, calm down and tell me what's going on." And Bob said to me, "From the early morning hour that I arrived until now, my co-workers have belittled my newly found commitment to Jesus Christ. They made every kind of snide remark, and they just kept it up all morning. And finally," he said, "I took it as long as I could take it, and I finally just looked at them and said, 'Look, guys, don't knock it until you've experienced it.'" And he said, "That silenced them." I waited a moment and I said, "Paul, you know, Bob, you know, what you said was the right thing to say and quite profound. The problem was the manner in which you said it. Let me explain. Don't knock it until you experienced it. You see, the truth is, a person that has never come to faith in Jesus Christ can't fully understand the teaching of God's Word. And when you begin to explain even the new birth of being born again, being made in Christ a new creation, they can hear the words, they can somehow think they understand, but basically, never having experienced it, the understanding is not there. And so when you begin to try to explain biblical truth to people who are not biblically minded, the Bible says they don't even have the capacity to fully understand. And so to engage in a theological argument with someone that has never embraced the truth of God's Word and become a believer of the faith is an exercise in futility, because ultimately they will not fully understand. God only provides for the unbeliever sufficient ability to understand enough to enter the kingdom and to be born again of God. Outside of the framework of their own salvation, they are limited in what they can know and they can understand. And so the mysteries of God alluded to in the scriptures, which in our next sermon we will begin to list what those mysteries are, they are out of the reach of natural comprehension. Secondly, mysteries are made known only by divine revelation. Look, if you will, at verse 10. And I quoted this verse for years. It's so poetic. "I have not seen nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the heart of man the things that God hath prepared for them that love him." And if you stop there, it is like all of these goodies that God has prepared for believers are not available yet, but someday we'll have the opportunity to accept them and to believe them. But the very next verse tells us something to the contrary. Paul says, "But God hath revealed them to us by His Spirit." We can know them now. Do you remember the time when Jesus got the disciples together? And he said to them a very interesting question. Whom do men say that I, the Son of Man, am? And different answers came until he came to Peter. And Peter said, Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Do you remember Jesus' response? Jesus said to him, Peter, flesh and blood hath not revealed this unto you, but it has been revealed to you by my Father. The Spirit of the Father has communicated that truth to you to understand. We who are indwelt by the Holy Spirit have the mechanism that we need to understand God's Word. And here's how it works. We get in the Word and we begin to read it. And a lot of it makes sense to us just at the initial reading. But we come to times when there are passages that just seem to be so difficult to understand. And yet all of a sudden, as we read them, clarity comes. And we begin to embrace the truth that we read. God has given to us as believers the indwelling Spirit who reveals the meaning of the truth of His Word to us to the extent that we're willing to give ourselves to that Word and to read it daily and to saturate our mind and our hearts with its content. Look at number 3. Mysteries make known in a manner and at a time appointed by God. Now I want to read a passage from 1 Peter to help us understand that. It's a little lengthy, but I think that you'll come to understand the meaning of the words. In 1 Peter chapter 1, and I begin with verse 10. Concerning this salvation, the prophets who spoke of the grace that was to come to pass searched intently and with greatest care, trying to find out the time and the circumstances to which the Spirit of Christ in them was pointing when he predicted the sufferings of the Messiah and the glories that would follow. Now what Peter is saying is that even the Old Testament prophets were limited in the Old Testament to understand the provision that God was making for human salvation. They understood that it was coming, that God had a plan, but to fully understand the truth and the dimensions of its essence, they continued to do their search. But look at the passage, it's continued. It was revealed to them that they were not serving themselves, but you, when they spoke of the things that now have been told you by those who have preached the gospel to you, by the Holy Spirit sent from heaven. And I love these last words. Even angels long to look into these things. Now here's the picture. God's plan of redemption for mankind was a mystery to the prophets of the Old Testament. But the day came at the coming of the birth of Christ that the plan of salvation began to unravel and man began to embrace the meaning and the substance, the essence of the salvation that God has provided for man through the suffering of his Son upon the cross. And now through the power of the Holy Spirit, men are proclaiming that truth and making it known to any and to all who will receive it. The timing of God's revelation was so important. So let me make a practical application. That continues on in our day, and notice the meaning of these words. It is made known in a manner and at a time appointed by God. There's going to come time when you're going to be asked about a scripture, or you're going to need a scripture for your own comfort and encouragement. And somehow your mind just seems to escape coming up with anything. And then suddenly it becomes clear to you. There have been times in my ministry when I have had people questioning something that I have said And they have ultimately said to me, give me a verse of scripture that proves what you're saying to be true. And I've stood at that moment thinking, boy, if I knew this question was going to come up, I would have had a week to research it. I'd have an answer. When all of a sudden, I found myself giving an answer to the person that raised the question, even the verse and the passage of scripture to which they should turn to find the reality of that truth. You see, God revealed it to me at a time, in a manner, in a moment that I most needed it. Now remember this, that when Jesus said, if I go away to heaven, I will send my spirit to you. And in the day of the Spirit's indwelling, he will bring to your remembrance the things that I have taught unto you. Are you following me? There was a time when beyond human comprehension, God began to reveal his word and its truth, its meaning, its reality, the coming of Christ and the giving of the gift of the Holy Spirit. And the Spirit becomes our interpreter, our enabler to understand the truth and the meaning of God's word. But notice the last and part of our definition. But this happens only to those who are enlightened by the Spirit. And in verse 16, 15 and 16, is one of the most profound thoughts of all of Scripture. Listen to it carefully. The person with the Spirit makes judgments about all things, but such a person is not subject to mere human judgments. For who has known the mind of the Lord as to instruct him? But we have the mind of Christ. Let me paraphrase that for you. Because we're indwelt by the Holy Spirit, we are capable of thinking the thoughts of God. And so when we're reading the Word and they make sense to us, the Word of God becomes real to us. Not only to become head knowledge of something that we store away that we know and that we understand, but something of heart and mind knowledge to speak to other people, to apply to difficult situations in our life, to receive direction that we need in the major decisions that stand out before us. What an awesome thought. The Old Testament says that his thoughts are not our thoughts, his ways are not our ways. And in the flesh, that is true, but in the Spirit, we can understand his words, we can understand his ways, for he is a God who reveals the meaning of that once that was once hidden as a mystery has now became known to the children of God, to all who believe. And in our next lesson, we're going to talk about what are all of these mysteries. And let me just kind of whet your appetite with the last one that we'll mention in our next lesson. Eye hath not seen, nor ear heard, neither hath it entered into the hearts of man, the things that God hath prepared for them that love him. Those are things that God wants to reveal now, but they're also things about the future that God wants to reveal to us. Whether it's in 1 Thessalonians, whether it's in the writings of Peter, or whether it's in the book of Revelation, God can enable the spirit-minded person to understand his plan of last things, as even recorded in the book of Revelation, that we come to understand that death doesn't end at all. It's only the beginning of a life that God has planned for all who believe, taking us through a millennium, through the days of tribulation, to the very day when, at his coming, he executes judgment upon unbelievers and welcomes home those who believe. And therefore, when we hear probably one of the passages most frequently read at a funeral, let not your heart be troubled. You believe in God, believe also in me. In my Father's house are many mansions. If it were not so, I would have told you. I go to prepare a place for you, and if I go, I will come again and receive you unto myself, that where I am, there you may be also. Read it many times. Believe it more today than I've ever believed it in my life. Why? Because by the indwelling presence of the Holy Spirit, I have read more than words, truths that have come off of the page and become reality in my embracing my hope for all that God has prepared for those that love Him. A rich and abundant life now, and a life eternally, that where He is, there we will be also. It's promised in the Word. We read it in the Word. We can understand it from the Word as the Spirit continues to enlighten and unpack the truths of glorious mysteries that God has prepared in the Scripture for those of us who are called His children. I want to close my sermon with a benediction, but I don't want you to bow your heads, because I want you to look at it in the Scripture. I want to read it to you. It's found in Romans chapter 16 and verse 25. And let me say in closing that this is a prayer that I'm praying for you, especially during the days of this series. Listen to it carefully. Now to Him who is able to establish you by my gospel and the proclamation of Jesus Christ, according to the revelation of the mystery hidden for long ages past, but now revealed and now made known through the prophetic writings by the command of an eternal God, so that all the nations may believe and obey Him. We know the Word. We love it. We sometimes neglect it and are not as disciplined of being in it as we ought to be. And I just challenge you to get in a book of the Bible, read through it consecutively, and just asking God in a prayerful attitude as you read, Lord, reveal the truth of your Word to me. Help me become wiser with a mature wisdom of your Word. Help me to understand the deeper things of your Word. That's my prayer for you in this series. And I pray that as the series progresses, the whole thought of the deeper things of God will become more real to you, to me, and to all who hear this message. Let's pray. Father, I thank you this morning for the opportunity of sharing your Word. I thank you for the depths of its truth, and how day to day, as we depend upon you and disciplinedly read in your Word, that you reveal to us those precious promises that we can trust and believe every step of our earthly journey. Father, minister to us through the Word, through this series, and may each message just open up the Word, truth of your Word to us in dimensions that we have never seen before. And we will honor you and praise you in the name of Christ our Lord. Amen.
Thank you for connecting with the online campus of Hurricane Community Church. Next week, you have the opportunity to connect online once again, but you also have the opportunity to connect on site, on location, live and in person. And so we're excited about that. We look forward to being able to resume physical gatherings next Sunday at 10 o'clock, where we will have a special message around the reopening called Yes, We're Open. Check out the preview video, and as you make plans for whether you're ready to return or not, know that we have gone to great lengths to take care of the building, and we will honor and practice the social distancing guidelines as best as we can to safeguard the well-being of every person who will choose to return next Sunday and subsequent Sundays. So check out the preview video and have a great rest of the week.